skilled bodies and just helps the Lord to do your will throughout this community.
Amen. Amen. And we're in Philippians chapter 3. Of course, we know Acts chapter 16 was where this church was planted with Lydia and a formerly demon-possessed girl and a jailer and all his little jailers. And so the church at Philippi was started. And he writes back to the church of Philippi. And in verse 12, he says this. Notice what this, it says. And it's interesting. If you read the epistles that God used Paul to pen, if you read these, you'll see that Paul makes it perfectly clear he doesn't think much of himself. He's not beating himself up. He's not doing, you know, some people say things about themselves just to say, oh no, you're better than that. And that's not what he was doing. He was being truthful. And he says this, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. He said, I'm not there. I'm not where I need to be, where God wants me. He says, I'm still plugging away, but I follow after that. That word follow after that, if that I may apprehend. He says, I want to lay hold on something. I want to get something for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, when Jesus saves you, he got a hold of you.
Amen.
You're not holding on. He's holding on to you.
Amen.
And he's got a grip.
Amen.
You don't need to say, God, get a grip. He's got a grip.
Amen.
Amen. He says, brethren, now notice again, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, he said, this one thing I do, and then he lists a bunch of things, and it's interesting. He says, this one thing I do, and then he lists these things. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Things which are behind. You ought to underline that. And reaching forth to those things which are before. You ought to underline that. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if you get off track, God's going to let you know.
Right.
The Holy Spirit indwells you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. What's he talking about? He's talking about our salvation. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You don't need to go about the Christian life dissecting it into compartments. Don't compartmentalize the Christian life. It's your Christian life. It's not okay. I divide my life into several periods. No, it's just like on your gravestone. It'll have a dash. The day you're born and a dash, and the day you die. It's just one thing, your life. And the Christian life is the same. Brethren, look at this. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, Paul said, you follow me because I'm following God. That's a pretty bold statement. That's a statement of responsibility. And then he says this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're out there. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there, there's no spiritual thinking in their minds. It's all about here and now and what I can get. For our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence Also, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our what?
Our vile body.
That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Who's that, Jesus?
Amen.
We're going to be like, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, tonight I want to think just for a few moments. I want to give you some simple thoughts about things behind and things before. Things behind and things before. The problem that I deal with is that I hold on to some things I need to let go of. And because I'm holding on to those things, I miss what God has for me in the future. You understand? Now, someone said we shouldn't be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But there are things that are past that we need to forget. And there are things that are future we need to lock in on. There are things that in your life that every time you think of every time you think about them, that things that are in the past, it just brings you down. You get to feeling the same way, and you rehearse it. And you say, why didn't I do it? That's behind. And then there's things in the future. You see, we've got to see beyond our nose.
Amen.
We've got to see. That was the whole point of that Sunday school lessons we did on detours. I mean, if you start with Joseph in the coat of many colors and then you get him in a palace, everything's good. It's that in-between stuff. And we can't beam ourselves up like Scotty. You know? And so the things that are behind and the things that are before. Let me give you seven things. I want to give you a list tonight. A good memory is not always a great asset. A good memory, and let me just say this. When Paul says he says they're forgetting those things. What's that? If you look in that and look at the Greek word and the tense of it, it's a continuous thing. In other words, I'm always continuing to do that. He says, you don't just take one breath in for the rest of your life. You continue to breathe, right? And that's the way it is forgetting. You just have to, you say, preacher, I thought I could forget it completely. You can't forget it completely, but when it comes up, you've got to push it aside and do something about it. Now, let me give you seven things we should forget. Number one, we must forget our past sins.
Amen.
Jesus does. God does. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Let's look at some Bible verses. Amen.
Amen.
Bible verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. I'm in Psalms. What's it say? Somebody read it.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Okay, there's two things in there. There's one thing we shouldn't do, and there's two things we should do. What's the first one?
Don't cover it, your sins.
And then confess and forsake.
Confess and forsake.
And you have mercy. Confess and forsake. No. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 12. I like this verse. Psalm 103 and verse 12. What's it say?
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
How far is that? How far is that? I mean, if you just keep, if you're looking for them and you keep going east, there's always going to be an east. And you turn around, there's going to be a west. Now look, folks, if God doesn't remember them, now I've thought about this. How can God not remember? Because he's God.
Amen.
He doesn't hold us accountable of those. Okay? Forget your past sin. If you've confessed it, 1 John 1:9, it's done. It's under the blood. We must forget our past failures. You say, how distant in the past? Today we fail. We fail every day. If we concentrate on our failures, we'll never get any place. Who was the fellow that invented the light bulb?
Thomas Edison.
And there was over 100 times, right? That he tried. And somebody asked, you know, you failed so many times. He said, no, I just found out that was so many times. I found out that that was not the way you do it. Huh? It didn't work. But he kept on. He kept on. And listen, we can't, hey, listen, you don't have to fail. You don't have to remain a failure. Okay? God doesn't want you, God doesn't call you a failure. We're going to fail. And we can't dwell on those. We must forget our past successes. Just because you win today doesn't mean you're going to win tomorrow. I like it when these guys get on there and March, we got March Madness coming, starting tomorrow, and it's one of my favorite times of the year when they have these basketball teams, all these college basketball teams play all over the place, and you got all these big, tough schools and these little mid majors and these ones you've never heard of, and always there's some, and I just love it when the one that they've never heard of, the mouse that beats the lion. The David that beats the Goliath. And I love it. I love it. And I enjoy that. Every year, Patrick sends me a bracket. Patrick and I fill out the brackets and we talk. Oh, man, you see my bracket is already busted. You know, we're already, and all these teams. And everybody, look, it's amazing. It's amazing how teams that, and these guys have never seen these teams and they don't know how to defend them and everything. And it's crazy, but let me just tell you something. Just because this person has a winning record and is a number one seed doesn't mean a number 13 or 14 can beat them. And it happens. It happens. Listen, your success today is not going to guarantee success tomorrow. Let me give you something else. We must forget our unhappy experiences. There's some times when we weren't happy. There's some times when we weren't. We must forget, let me just say this, we must forget our past blessings. Look at Psalm 102:2. Psalm 102:2. We must forget our last blessings. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. When I call, answer me speedily. We must understand he's going to call us, but yesterday's answered prayers are not going to carry us through today. Let me say this. We must forget the sins. Listen to this. Number 7. We must forget the sins and failures of others. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not your responsibility to keep bringing up when people sinned and when they failed.
Amen.
You as a parent, if you're a parent and you bring up the failures of your children over and over again, they're going to be failures. They're going to be failures. They're gonna miss one. They're gonna miss Miss Creed will come down. Miss Creed usually goes upstairs before I go up because she doesn't like to watch hockey or basketball on TV. And so I'm sitting down on the first level, and I'm sitting there, and she's all of a sudden I see a light, and here she comes. And she's got this phone on speaker, and there's this little voice. It's Aaliyah Creed from Asheville, North Carolina. And she has a math question for her grandma. Now, Miss Creed taught math for, she taught for 40-some years, and she knows math and higher math and higher than higher math and stuff that I don't really care about or care to know. You know, calculus, I don't even like the word. I don't even like to say algebra, trigonometry. but she knows all that stuff. And Aaliyah will come, and she'll call her grandmother the next day. She said, Mimi, I got a 96 on the test. And she said, great, that's an A. She said, yeah, I missed a couple. She said, well, you'll do better next time. You'll do better next time. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
We have to do that. We have to encourage folks. And so there's some things we should forget. Let me give you some things we should attain. I'm giving you a list here tonight. I'm trying to help you. Number one, we must press on to perfection. Look at verse 12. Are you there? Verse 12 in our chapter in Philippians. He says the word perfect means spiritually mature. Spiritually mature. And let me just tell you something. I've met a lot of Christians that have been in church longer than I've been on this earth, and they're like baby Christians.
Right.
They're still sucking their thumbs. They have no spiritual depth. Listen, I've met a lot of people that know a lot about this book, but there's no they're a mile long and 2 inches deep. No depth. Let me say something. Get the Word of God, but squeeze out of it God's wisdom.
Amen.
Squeeze out of it God's principles. Let God make you more mature. Right? We need to understand. We need to press on to perfection, and it's important. Number two, we must press on to take hold of the purpose that which God has taken hold of us. You say, what's it talking about? Well, look back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The second part of verse 12 there says, he says, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Now, when God took hold of you, now, Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, look at verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, what?
He did also predestinate.
Now, back up there, I want to tell you something now. I want to give you a deep spiritual lesson here. And Chris can remember this for his doctrinal statement. God doesn't predestinate people to be saved.
Yep.
Do you understand that? God, when you hear somebody that God picks, you say, preacher, well, God knows. Yeah, God knows, but he doesn't say only so. If it's not a whosoever salvation, then God's a liar.
Amen.
Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? So don't let somebody come in and tell you this. You need to logically look at it. No, it's theologically, it's the Bible. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed what? To the image of his Son.
Amen.
Okay. Look at verse 30. What's verse 30 say?
Moreover, whom he did predestinate,
Also he called. Stop. He called you.
Amen.
He called you, and he's calling you to do something. And whom he called, them he also what?
Justified.
Okay, he called you to salvation. He justified you. And whom he justified?
Them also he glorified.
Yeah, that's all that's wrapped up in when you were saved. He called you. He justified you. He glorified you. Okay? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we don't take salvation very serious and take on the brevity of what it means to be saved and what God Almighty has done for us to save us. Understand? He's taken hold of me.
Amen.
Satan throws us out. We're yesterday's leftovers to Satan. Throw them in the trash. And God says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Now what's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, look, I've got a hold of you. You get a hold of me. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I was looking on my phone today, and it had this little video, and this panda had this little baby cuddling the baby, and the zookeeper came in. And evidently they needed to do something with the little baby and handed an apple to the panda. Well, the panda threw the baby down and they took the baby away. You know, that apple means more. Let me just tell you something. You need to get a hold of, God's got a hold of you. You need to get a hold of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about, he's not listening. I'm talking about you need to lay hold. You understand what I'm saying? This salvation that we have, you can't lose it. It's right there. But don't sit on the back of the bike and ride. Get a hold of the handlebars and pedal. Amen?
Amen.
And go up the hill and down the hill and through the difficult times. What's he say? He's saying, listen, we need to press on to perfection. We need to grab on to God because he's grabbed on us. And let me give you this. We must press on with deep concern to win the loss. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. The Christian life, the joy of the Christian life is sharing him with others. The joy of the Christian life is seeing other people saved. Now, Sunday night, a little late, or Sunday morning, that little lady came. I don't even know their names. I thought they were Nora's parents. They're folks that came from around the corner, from door knocking. And her son brings her to church, brings them to church, drops them off. She was up here praying for her son to be saved.
Amen.
You know, if that young man gets saved, what a joy mom will have. I mean, if you have unsaved children, that's hard on your heart. We want all our children to know the Lord Jesus Christ to say at an early age so that they can live for him the rest of their life. And so there's some things we should forget. Some things we should attain. And notice this. This one thing I do. We're told this one thing I do consists of this, forgetting and straining toward that which is before. Now, look at this. Number one, why should we do this? Why should we press ahead? Number one, we're citizens of heaven.
Amen.
Our citizen, look at it, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. I love this verse. Of whom the whole what? Family. Who is that? What family? What family is that?
God's family.
That's the family of God. So when you get saved, what do you become part of? The family of God.
Amen.
Now, Brother Arnold's from West Virginia. Sister, you're from, what country are you from?
Nigeria.
Nigeria. Darian's from Mars. Darian's from here. You're from Utah. Where were you born?
New York.
Don't worry about it. I was born in Elkton, Maryland. We have all kinds of cultures and colors. And I love it. I love meeting people from all different walks of life. I don't know about you. But when we get saved, we're all part of God's family. I heard somebody say, you know, I want to go to a church with my people. Well, you are. You're here.
Amen.
Well, I want to go with, you know, and what they were saying is I want to go with a person, all the people of my color are from here or from that. You know, you see these Korean Baptist church. I'd like to walk into one of those one time, Korean Baptist church. I mean, you know, okay, God bless them. They're doing the best. But folks, when we get saved, you know, heaven is not going to be like that. It's going to be everybody.
Amen.
That knows him from all walks of life. And so we need to understand that. And then we strive and we forget those things and we reach forth because the Lord is coming back to take us home. He could come back. The Bible says, with the trump of God, shout in a twinkling of an eye. And then because we're going to exchange these old bodies, look at verse 21. We're going to exchange these old bodies. What does it say? In verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21, we're going to change these old vile bodies for one like his. That's a pretty good trade. Huh? You ever seen these commercials that says, doesn't matter how tore up it is, we'll give you a trade-in. You ever seen that? Well, you know what they're saying. Brother Arnold knows what they're saying, is that, you know, they're giving you a trade-in because they can make it, even though it's tore up, they can make at least that much on parts. I mean, you make at least that much on, at least that much on metal. You understand? God's not saying that. Our body is, we're worth, I mean, what is the, I mean, with the way finances are going now, banks going under.
Yeah.
What's the human body worth? Chemically, not much. Probably less than 50 cents. Vile body. I mean, we put our body, they put a dead body, we embalm it, that costs. They put makeup on it. I'm going to a lawyer. Before I go to be with the Lord, I'm going to get him. I said, I'm going to put a smile on my face. I don't want to be. Look like the Joker, you know. They fix him up. Everybody walks up. Doesn't they look good? No, they don't look good. They're dead. Put them in a casket. I mean, some of them are just. And then put a headstone. For what? Skin and bones. Gone. Hey, listen. Our body's going to be like his. You imagine that? Lord's going to say to me, okay, Pat, during the millennium, don't be scaring people. Don't be walking through walls or anything. Just try to stay calm. Don't be flying around. It's going to be incredible. Now, notice. Because we're going to heaven, he's going to take us home. He's going to change our bodies. Because one day, look at verse 14. What's it say in verse 14? He said, I press toward the mark of the what? I like prizes.
Amen.
I don't like surprises, but I like prizes. Huh? You say, we got prizes. The kids, when you're around a bunch of kids, their eyes light up. They like prizes. Everybody likes a prize. Huh? How many of you ever watched Let's Make a Deal? Anybody ever watch Let's Make a Deal? You ever watch, or you ever watch these game shows where people win prizes? I mean, it's incredible. And I don't know how it all goes down, shakes out in the end, but it's a prize. Let me finish by saying this. Jesus is coming back one day. In verse 21, he is going to come back. He's going to come back. And folks, we need to understand, we need to be reaching forth. Okay? Amen. Now, hey, I want to talk to you before we pray. What's that? What are those things that you just can't let go of? What are those things you just can't let go of tonight? You say, do you have some things? Yeah, I do, that I struggle with. And you know how I keep moving and get going? I got to say, Lord, I need some help with this, man. I just can't do this. I don't want to do this. I mean, I start thinking about times when I've been mistreated or went through hard times. And I'm the kind of person that I take myself back and I'm sitting there and I'm feeling, and pretty soon I'm either mad or upset.
I've been there.
Listen, the reason you keep going back is you're not bringing the Lord into the thing.
Right.
Our help comes from the Lord. And so those things that are behind, you need to forget those. When you've been mistreated, forget those. You know what I realized one time? When somebody mistreats me, you know who they're messing with?
The Lord.
They're messing with God's children.
Right.
Those people that hit us and took off before we could get their license plate last week, I feel sorry for them. We say, well, preacher, you're the one who has to, hey, listen, we're okay. But they're messed with God's child. You know, I may stand, if they don't trust Christ as personal Savior, I may stand before God one day, and they stand there and says, yeah, see Pat up there? You ran into him and took off. You say, really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, preacher, that, yeah. Everything. Now, when you get a hold of the thought that, hey, I am not going to let this bring me down, then you've got to move on and do something that's going to take you up. Move on. You understand? It is a battlefield every day.
Amen.
It's a battle. But let me just tell you something. If he's with you, you're more than conqueror. And there's things that you need to reach. You say, preacher, what do I do? God, give me some goals. You know, what's your family goal? What is your ultimate goal as a family? You all need to talk about that, and you need to strive toward that.
Amen.
Because your young people, your boys need to see you striving. We need to have an ultimate goal. If we don't aim at anything, we won't hit anything. Right? Forgetting that there's things that are behind, and there's things that are future. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time you've given us. Pray that you challenge our hearts. We've, in a simple way, done our best to convey your message. And Lord, we thank you that we can't do it without you. And you're with us in everything we do and say. Help us to forget those things that we need to forget. And help us to press toward the things that you want us to. Help us to apprehend the things by your grace, with your strength, and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. God spoke to you. You want to get along with God? Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. God's, and if you have an offering, give it. Stop by, see Brother Arnold, and he takes MasterCard, Visa. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody. Let's close in prayer. Brother Frank, close for us.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you for your great love for us, Father God, that you sent your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, shed his blood for our sins. Lord, thank you for the mess tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just ask you to be with the master plan and kids, Lord, they turn their Bible verses, Lord, and Lord God, their relationship with you will grow through Jesus.
Amen. God bless you all. Hey, boy. Come here. Come here, boy. Come here, get this.
He fell. I stopped making another noise. Oh, that's always your wife's face through the window.
You know what you should have done? You should have been like...